This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Welcome back to Talkville.
Welcome back.
Well, those dreams that you've seen since... That was a great show. Welcome back, Connor. Anyway, this is the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast where each week we go back. Tom and I and Ryan here, we go back. We watch every episode of the show. We discuss it with all of you. That's right. Thanks for tuning in. We were just in... where were we, Tom? We were just in Dallas.
Dallas.
And it was great seeing all the fans. Amidst all these Supernatural fans, and they welcomed us with open arms. And so it's nice. It's nice to go to these cons and, you know, have fun and see you guys. But thanks for all the
support.
We got
to bring Ryan to one of these. He'll be so bored, but at least he'll get
you know
to
what?
See
I
one.
Think I've always wanted to go to Columbus, Ohio. So, yeah.
I'm sensing sarcasm. Well, I'd hope so because I'm laying it on you pretty thick.
I love the people of Columbus.
Talkville Podcast on Facebook. Our handles at Talkville Podcast on Facebook. Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok, Talkville Pod on the Twitter. Write a review. Tell us what you think about the podcast. You can go on Apple, Spotify. But if you write a review, it really helps the podcast in the rankings. So make that happen. Make us soar.
And by the way, Ryan, Columbus, Ohio is actually a really fun con.
Yeah.
So
was it?
Yeah.
Stick that in your hat.
Yeah. Don't knock Columbusians, Columbians, Columbusians, Ohioans. Right.
Columbusians.
Right. I take it back.
Also, thank you to all our lovely patrons who keep this podcast going. We couldn't do it without you. Patreon.com/Talkville. Join today. It's a family. And you really help the podcast. If you can do it, great.
You know, I know I keep interrupting you. Maybe that's my mode today, but you're just talking about being in Dallas and we meet people at these cons who are patrons and they come up and it's like such a different experience because there's already instant love.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of fun.
Yeah, we do a Smallville Nights at most of these cons, and the reception is just, I have not honestly seen one person, because I don't care about anything, you and I both agree, that
anything.
If one person walks out of there unhappy or this wasn't worth it, we're disappointed. We don't want that to happen. So we really go above and beyond and put all our energy and love into it. And if you ever get a chance to go to Smallville Nights, we're doing one in Atlanta, Georgia for Creation on March 4th. And it should be a lot of fun. We'll be signing there with the boys. So if you're in Atlanta, come see us. Also, if you didn't get a chance to call, and a lot of people are telling me this at the cons, Tom as well, call our hotline. Leave a message, a question for this episode or an episode in the future. And all that info and more is down in the show's description, what you can see on the handles and when you watch it or listen to. But Tommy, it's good to see you. Ryan, it's good to see you.
Good to see you.
Always good to see you. Yep. It feels like a while. Tom was filming and we didn't get a chance to do these. So it's like, you know, it's fresh. It's like, holy crap, we haven't done this. And without further ado, let's get into season 2, episode 6, Redux.
I took a lot of notes on this one. I watched it on an airplane. And what I did, I didn't have a pen or paper. So what I did is I texted myself and I've got too many notes now that I look at it. So anyway, at least I have stuff to talk about.
Here's how good the episode was. I watched it a week ago or two, didn't remember it at all, watched it again and realized, I think I saw this. And then I was pissed at myself that I did that. Now, I have some, we're going to talk. We each have our own feelings about stuff. But, you know, I have my thoughts for this one. We'll get into that. We'll get into that. But, I'm glad you have notes. I'm glad, happy to explore them. Ryan, you have your three things picked out already?
Totally.
Well, you better do that now.
He's waiting. He's waiting.
So we don't get into any discrepancy.
I will say this, and I think this is kind of funny. I mean, my sense of humor is stupid, but I don't remember shooting this episode so much. But when I watched it, some things came back to me for sure. Yeah.
You know what's weird? I do remember this episode.
You do?
I remember thinking to myself, boy, is this boring. I swear to God, I remember being in the principal's office and going, was that okay? Was that what? I don't know. It's like, the energy seemed, but I thought, the guest stars were really good, which we'll talk about.
Well, the principal, real quick, was excellent. And part of the challenge in what we do as careers is, you know, and I know we're going to get to it, but when Lex drops Clark off and he's late and the principal's there and that character is not inviting or open or does not care and does not like you as another character, that's a challenge as an actor.
True.
You got to kind of have to duck and weave through the scene.
Yeah.
And you're never going to feel like you ever really got anywhere because that character doesn't allow you to. So he did a good job with that.
Yeah, look, I thought the guest stars were great. Maggie Lawson as Kristen Parker, who, if you wait a few minutes, you're going to talk to her. She's going to be on a little later. And, you know, it's tough because Maggie's part, she was the guest star. She was the lead guest star along with the principal. But she was sort of like the freak of the week. And she had some fun stuff to do, but she didn't have a ton of stuff. Usually that guest star has a lot of stuff. Yeah. And what she had, she kicked ass with. But, you know, I noticed like there wasn't a ton of screen time, was there?
No, we had like 3 B stories in this episode, which to me was a little confusing. Yeah. I felt like nobody really got enough screen time. And I mean, they all did great. Like, don't get me wrong. But like, I feel like this could have been 3 different episodes, this whole episode.
Yeah, I'm glad it wasn't. George Coe as William Clark, Richard Gant as Principal Terrence Reynolds, Sarah Jane Redmond as Nell Porter. Richard Gant, by the way, was in Rocky V. He played like the Don King-esque George Washington Duke.
Oh, yeah.
He was in Deadwood. He was in Men of a Certain Age. He was in Miami Vice, Jason Goes to Hell, The Final Friday. He's been in a ton of stuff. In fact, he was in The Big Lebowski. Maggie Lawson, we all love her. She's done tons of work, but she's famous for Psych, which was a hit. Big hit show. And she's been on my Inside You podcast. I love her. And
do you think Maggie's going to show up for us and be like 87 years old, like her character?
Oh, yeah, because of the aging thing, right? Just like the director, this aired Redux October 29th, 2002. Chris Long was the director. Garrett Lerner and Russell Friend were the writers. Don't remember them. This might be the only thing they wrote. The synopsis was Smallville High celebrates Spirit Week while also under attack by someone draining people's souls. The Kents battle financial trouble and are forced to reconcile with Martha's father for help. Also a good actor. Here's a little rundown and we can get into it. The episode opens with Smallville High students swimming during swim class. Clark faces off against Troy Turner for bragging rights.
Wait, did anyone notice Clark's shorts almost coming off when he dives into the pool?
I know. Well,
those don't feel like regulation swimwear, like racing swimwear.
Nut huggers.
Yeah.
No, you want Speedos. Into the Speedos?
Yeah, you guys are wearing like boxers.
Well, it's the CW.
And no one wants to see Clark. But, by the way, Speedos,
But it is the CW.
Yes, but Speedos aren't cool. So you don't want to see Clark, the star of a series, in a Speedo.
Does that ruin it?
And he's not on the diving team. So I let that go. Out of all the things I didn't want to let go.
Michael Phelps he wore like those long, like, was that technology not a thing yet? Those like long, like leggings that Michael Phelps was wearing?
No, it was not a thing.
It was definitely not.
Only a couple of years out.
Before diving in, Troy gets a kiss from his girlfriend, Chrissy Parker. The race stops midway when Clark realizes Troy is struggling in the water. He goes back to save and pulls him out and sees that he has turned into an old man. Well, didn't we do an episode like this in season one where these people are old, but they
were... It's one of your favorite episodes.
Yeah. But it was just like...
Yeah, the one at the nursing home.
I don't even... to me, this episode didn't feel like... They wanted to do something original at all. Like, at all. We don't want to have an original idea for this episode. That's what it felt like to me. I will say that Al Goff texted me, and I'd like to share it with you. He says, guys, enjoy the duplicity episode. I know you called me a few weeks ago while you were doing Nocturne. I realized the next episode, Redux, which, was an episode we shot at the end of season one. But we knew it would never make it to air in season one because we ran into a wall with our post schedule. So it was in the can to air at some point in season two because the network order was for 22 episodes and Warner's wasn't giving back any money. So it had to stand alone. Now that makes sense.
Which is why Lana's like, oh, we're just friends. And then just moves on. Like, no problem. Yeah, it doesn't.
It makes sense. Thank you, Al, for helping us.
Thank you, Al.
Last time we saw Troy, he was getting beat up by the Invisible Kid in the locker room. So Troy came back as a guest star.
Poor Troy.
Back at the Kent farm, Jonathan is talking with Martha about their financial problems, unsure how they're going to make it another month. Martha suggests they call her father for help.
By the way, they're 3 months behind already.
Yeah. Maybe they shouldn't live on such a lavish farm. It's like the most beautiful house and farm and every. I mean, this farm's worth millions. They could sell it. But they probably owe a lot of money to Luther's or something. Clark visits the town to drop off some muffins and finds Lana looking at some old photos of her mother and some mysterious man together being romantic.
So awkward instantly. So awkward.
It was.
In a good way.
Yeah.
It's very awkward.
It was, you know, it was one of those things in the beginning when they start talking about it. I'm like, okay, who cares? Why do we care about why? And by the end, I actually thought that story paid off the most. You know, like, hey, my parents, my dad is not my biological father, is what she's insinuating.
And my dad might still be alive. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this girl already, her parents died in a meteor shower. And now she finds out years later it wasn't even her father. Jeez, man. Anyway, Lex shows up and offers Clark a ride.
We could only hope in our, you could only hope in your real life that that would be the case.
Yeah. Lex offers Clark a ride back to school. I mean, why not? The two arrive and I hate his glasses. Lex, my glasses were so cheesy. They were awful. But, you know, it was back then and maybe it was still bad then. I remember seeing it going, oh my God. The two arrive and run into the new principal, Terrence Reynolds, who isn't fond of Clark's tardiness of Lex Pat. Clark, let me tell you, I don't like when you're being tardy. He had a really strict term, strong presence.
This gate is closed at 9 a.m. It doesn't open till 2:30 p.m.
Should have known better. It was Lex Luthor. Principal Reynolds catches up with the Chrissy in the halls to discuss Spirit Week. Did you notice that the principal and Chrissy always had like one shots? Like the camera taking off the stairs both times and they're talking. I think they were rushed for time. They just had to shoot it, which is a drag for a guest star. You mess up, gets you in your head, but it's a oneer. You got
to
do it.
I also thought like this principal must be exhausted at the end of the day. He's going around every individual student talking about their files, wanting to get to know them. I mean, we're talking about a couple hundred kids here.
Yeah.
That guy, he's thorough.
He is thorough. And again, I really felt like Maggie nailed it. She's playing this part. There's only so much she could do, and she's believable. She's delivering her lines effortlessly, and I really liked it.
I also felt like I was on her side. Like, why is this guy bugging her so much? Like, leave her alone.
Yeah, well, she's killing someone. Principal Reynolds catches up with Chrissy Bubba. We talked about that in The Torch. Chloe begins investigating Troy's supposed progeria caused death and Principal Reynolds' background. They're skeptical of him being in Smallville with such an impressive resume. Lana and Clark go to decorate the town for Spirit Week when Aunt Nell arrives. Lana then decides to ask Nell about the man in the photo with her mother. Martha's father, William Clark, visits the Kent farm, questions why his daughter has chosen the farm life. Clark interrupts to meet his grandfather for the first time. He wants William to stay, but William decides to head back to his motel.
I just remember him feeling so old school in the best way.
Yeah.
Like his whole delivery, his whole stance, it was an old school style that he was using that I just loved. It was like, I don't know, I just really appreciated it. And it works. It works. And then obviously we find out more about this scenario, but yeah.
I agree. You know, I thought about that. And like, you're right. He just nailed it. He had a lot of presence. He just felt like that tough, stern guy. Sadly, he passed away in 2015. Bro. He was 86 years old. And, you know, just out of idle curiosity here, he was a cast member. Oh my gosh. For the first season of Saturday Night Live.
What?
And voiced the character of Woodhouse in Archer. Hang on. He worked opposite Angela Lansbury in the original production of MAME, which I think won a Tony. He was only credited as a cast member for the first show of Saturday Night Live, even though he's a cast member. Coe was used in several other episodes of SNL, but was never again credited. Wow. He was the head of Dustin Hoffman's character advertising firm in the Academy Award winning Kramer versus Kramer.
You know what? That makes sense because I feel like he comes from that era.
Yeah. Did Columbo. A lot of cool stuff, man.
He was Columbo?
He did video games like Star Wars, The Old Republic. And anyway, moving on. Talkville is brought to you by AG1. Tom and I talk about this all the time. If you want to get healthy, if you want to feel better, if you want to have energy and focus, this is what we take and it helps us. And we talk about it all the time, but AG1, Tocqueville and AG1, they go hand in hand together. Taking care of your health isn't always easy, but it should be at least simple. And that's why for a couple of years now, we've been drinking AG1 every day, no exceptions. It's just one scoop mixed in with water once a day, every day. And it helps us feel, it helps me feel alive, I guess you could say.
Yeah, well, I just took a weekend vacation with my family and something was going on and I realized I hadn't brought my AG1. And when I got home, I literally drank one and I was like, oh, this is what I was missing. And that's the truth.
Well, really look, was. I mean, what people don't realize is, instead of taking all these vitamin pills every day, and I hate swallowing pills, AG1 helps cover my bases with high quality ingredients like pre and probiotics, which we all need, adaptogens, antioxidants, and whole food source nutrients. I know that if I drink it daily, I'm going to feel that extra boost. And that's what Tom was talking about. If there's one product I had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1. And that's why we've partnered with them so long. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/Tocqueville.
That's drinkag1.com/Tocqueville. Check it out. And the travel packs are worth it.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So later on the farm, Jonathan finds out his father-in-law was visiting and he's still against taking his financial aid for the farm. Clark thinks whatever happened can't be worse than what's in the storm cellar. Jonathan reveals that in the past he ended up punching his father-in-law after William was against Jonathan asking for his blessing to marry Martha.
He asked for his blessing, and before he could leave the room, the grandfather tried to push him out and Jonathan punched him in the face.
Yeah.
That's a big thing.
That is a big thing. You know, I think that
Jonathan's got a little temper like that. You know, it's always in defense of family, but yeah.
Yeah. Lana continues to prepare the town for Spirit Week and asks her business partner, Lex Luthor, to do some digging into the mystery man in the photos with her mother. In The Torch, Chloe gets the autopsy of Troy Turner and learns he didn't have progeria, and it was like the youth from his pituitary glands was sucked right out of him. Principal Reynolds interrupts Chloe, sharing his info with Clark, and invites him into the principal's office. And Reynolds is
I will say this real quick about Allison. This episode, one of my takeaways, Allison was on fire this episode.
She was great. She was very natural.
She was every scene, she hit all the beats, and obviously we have this scene coming up between her and Clark. She was just there, man. Like, you just saw some chops.
Yeah.
For sure.
She was a talent. Reynolds is concerned about Clark's relationship with Lex Luthor and wants to Clark to write an essay about what his future holds. Clark goes to write his essay at The Torch to avoid being at home and runs into Chrissy, who makes a negative comment about her life, about life after high school and getting old. He also talks with Lex, who we learned had to write a similar essay.
I thought that was kind of cool. I thought that was a nice little story point that maybe didn't have to be there, but was. You know, when Lex is like, he asked me to do the same thing. It's a good thing for Clark and Lex to sort of like...
Kind of big brother, kind of like this happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that too. Ryan hasn't said anything yet. Ryan, do you have any comments on any of this?
He's asleep. Ryan, wake up.
What do you want?
You're on.
I'm just wondering, are you interested in anything at this point in the episode?
Because we have 5 storylines going right now.
There were a lot of storylines. Keep going and I'll think of something. You know what?
Yes, sir.
Backstage at the Talon, Chrissy goes to check on the lights that fellow student Russell Burton is preparing. She uses the opportunity alone with him to give the kiss of death, thus sucking the youth from him. I thought the CGI started out really good and then kind of just went to shit for the last second of that shot. Maybe it was tough. I mean, it wasn't a great special effect show. I felt like it was really, we had run out of money on the show.
Well, I mean, yes and no. I thought when she, every time she lifted up her hand and it became aged, that creep, that got me.
Yeah,
it got
me. I don't doubt that. There was just a few things when the old thing, it just was kind of cheap. It just didn't look great to me. But the hand, I think, did. But the ending, we'll get to that. Back on the farm, Clark tries to surprise Jonathan with his grandfather, William, so they can mend their relationship. But it goes poorly. And Jonathan goes full Clint Eastwood, telling him to get off my land.
Yeah.
You have a rendezvous with my asshole. You know, it was kind of cool seeing those guys go at it. You could tell there was bad blood. And
it looked like they were both upset.
Yeah. And you know what? Maybe I'm ahead of myself, but there were so many years that went by that they never saw each other, and he was never in their life. And there's that moment in the Kent kitchen where you realize, you know, they're protecting Clark because they thought he would.
Yeah.
And you're like, wait, so this is my fault? And Annette, yeah. Martha kind of goes, well, kind of was.
Yeah.
It's because of you. Yeah, it was because
of
you.
We did this for you. We did this for you.
It's sort of like I was ready for her to go, no, it wasn't about you. It was about trust. It was about, you know, but she kind of was like, yeah, well, buddy. Well, Clark.
There's also this thing about children where until you are able to grow up enough to understand context and different people's scenarios in a given situation, children grow up thinking everything's their fault.
Oh yeah.
And Clark's simple-minded of like, oh, let me do the math. You haven't talked in 20 years. It can't be that bad. This is what I want. Let's do it. He has no conception of everybody else's situation could or could not be. And that's limited growth. I mean, he's a teenager. Give him a break. Stop being so hard on him.
The next day at school, Chloe tells Pete and Clark that Russell died in a similar way to Troy. The only thing that kind of bothers me is, it's the character, but Allison, that Chloe's just like, so-and-so died around the corner and everything's like this. And we're thinking that it's like, dude, somebody died at your school. You know, it's like, hey, but there's been a lot of deaths at this school. So I guess maybe it's kind of like big fucking deal, another death. Who cares? Oh, wait a minute. Clark's like, I just saw him. It's like, no, well, he's dead. This makes Clark suspicious of Chrissy and leads Chloe to investigate. And then Lex visits Principal Reynolds and asks him to back off of Clark. There was some mystery.
I also
here.
Saw. OK, so here's a little thing that I saw from Clark's my performance of Clark sitting in the. I saw myself trying to get away with some things in this episode. Some extra looks, some extra reactions, especially when other characters weren't looking for me. And I hadn't seen it before. And this is probably my progression as an actor or character on the episode. But sitting in the office and the principal comes behind me, and I don't remember what he said, but Clark does this like roll of the eye thing. That's me. That's me being a little bit, you know.
A little bit looser. Like,
a little bit looser. So there's a little bit of that.
I noticed that.
Yeah.
You're kind of like this. You give that look of like,
Jesus, yeah, I don't want to deal with this. Yeah, that's not written.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, oh, cool. Look at you, you little smart ass doing that stuff. The other thing, the blanket statement, when you direct an episode, there's like three things you need to know. How are you going to get into the scene? How are you going to get out of the scene? And what is the scene? What is the thing you need from the scene, right? From an actor, there's other things to consider, whatever, but that's the simplest version. Almost every scene in this episode had horrible outs.
Mm-hmm.
Horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, people just walking out of frames. You know, you remember the Smallville thing is like you go in and then you cut.
It was unmotivated. Nothing seemed like it
everything,
really meant
everything. Everyone was just leaving frames everywhere. Yeah. I was like, what? Yeah. Anyway.
Lana meets up with Clark in the loft, holding an envelope with the information about the mystery man and her photos. Nervous to learn the truth of who he is, Clark then vents about his past situation with his grandfather, determined to improve their relationship, their future relationship. He goes to visit William.
Here's the only thing that didn't happen. Maybe I'm shitting on it now, but we all know that this is not Clark's grandfather. This is Clark's adopted mother's father. I would have liked a little more of, Mom, I see that you don't have this relationship. I would like this for you. Like a little, like could have just a little bit of that.
Yeah. Like, you know, like what you're saying whatever. Is like, it could have been like, okay, Jonathan doesn't have any relationship with him. It doesn't mean you can't go visit your father and you and I who visit the father. I mean, that doesn't make sense. It's like, why can't you just have a relationship with me and my mother at this point?
Right, because it's not his grandfather. So that bumped for me a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. Back at Smallville, Principal Reynolds meets up with Chrissy in the halls again in a oneer, letting her know he hasn't been able to get in touch with her parents and wants to get to know Chrissy and her family more. So they plan to meet at the Talon before a Spirit Week event. In the torch, Chloe shares her findings with Clark about the mysterious string of progeria or progeria-like deaths in schools that surround Chrissy, going all the way back to 1921. And at the Talon, Reynolds shows up to meet with Chrissy's parents, but finds her alone. When she appears from the shadows, we see her face has aged rapidly. Chrissy knocks out the principal backstage, and Clark shows up to stop her before she can suck the life out of him.
That was the moment where I thought about the deer on the Highway 55.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like it was a repeat.
It was a repeat, and the whole bucket where she knocks him out was kind of, you know, it was a little cheesy. And then, you know, and they show that little, I don't know. It just, you know, tossing Chrissy on her back. It was a nice stunt, I guess. You had to end with something, but it happened so fast.
It wasn't that good. If you look at the momentum of it, and I think this is something that I got better at as time went on, she never came toward me before I threw her. It was like a poof. It didn't match up to my eye when I saw it. I think we learned from that. Welcome to Talkville. We'll tell you everything wrong with every episode.
Yeah, you know what? The episodes like this happen. I think we got some good ones coming up, though. When we see her face, Chrissy's face has grown even more old and decrepit. Chrissy states that she's saving people by killing them before they grow old, which is complete horseshit. What? What kind of fixing? No, before I'm saving. No, no, you're what? Because there is not
we'll
more
have to
life
ask
in cheerleading
her about that.
Spirit Week. There's not more to it.
That's a classic line.
Clark stops her attack, throwing her into through a banister. Her aging continues to get worse until she turns into a corpse and then bursts into ashes. The scene mirror similarities to the Phantom Zone in the first two Superman movies. Yeah, I guess I could see that. Clark returns home to give his parents the check that William gave on his way out. Jonathan tells Clark that they had to keep his grandfather away so he didn't learn Clark's secrets. That night in the loft, Lana visits Clark, who is finishing his essay.
And we never talk about him again.
She tells him what she's learned in Lex's file, that her parents actually divorced at one point and were separated for a year, meaning that the man in the photo might be her real papa. The highlights and lowlights. I think the biggest highlight was the end of the episode and the credits coming up. No, I would say there were some nice moments with Clark and Lex. The storyline with Lana was a nice little story. It was sad, and it was like, I'm curious as to what's going to happen there. Unfortunate was the situation with Clark and his grandfather that he'll never have a relationship with. You know, those are the things that you take away, you know.
I think a positive takeaway is that something you and I discussed before, and Annette was very vocal about, is like she wanted her character to have a story. And I think this was a way to shine a little more light on it. I thought that family dynamic was interesting for sure.
Yeah.
How it played out.
But look.
This is just another one of those scenarios where the Jonathan Martha Kent of it all, we can't tell anybody because it's not safe. Whereas it's Martha's dad. Like maybe he would understand. Maybe he would help. Maybe he has access to, we'll never know.
Redux finished principal photography shortly after filming for Tempest. That Tempest ended, which was just before the crew went on their summer break. Excuse me. It was delayed because of complications that arose after filming had ended, like we talked about. This is probably why Clark sends Pete away before he goes to fight Chrissy. Makes sense. I was like, what the fuck? At that point in the show's storyline, Pete is still unaware of Clark's abilities. Some lines were dubbed and indicating its placement later in season two, such as Lana discussing Clark's secretiveness and Martha working for Lionel Luther.
This makes a lot more sense, though, because I watched this episode and the next episode. Tune in for our next episode. And there was so... The next episode, you'll find Pete is like in cahoots with Clark to break the law using Clark's abilities. So this makes sense now because I felt like there was such a jump there. But
yeah,
this episode was out of order. So there you go. Out of order.
In the episode Redux, there is a reference made to Coast City, which Clark says, which was the one time home of DC Comics superhero Green Lantern.
Green Lantern or Green Arrow?
Arrow, Arrow is Starling City.
This says Green Lantern. Oh. Green Lantern's DC.
Green Lantern is DC. But I'm saying Green Arrow was Starling City.
You know who wouldn't know that? Hmm. Me. I wouldn't have any idea.
You.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm telling
Let's
you.
Call him Mel. He might know. And one of the notes I had is I want to make you a t-shirt, Michael, because Lex in this episode says, I'm the king of family dysfunction.
That's
I want to
amazing.
Make you a t-shirt that you can wear at the cons for that. I'm the king of family dysfunction.
that says there's
I also
more to
have
life
here
than
that
spirit week and cheerleading.
Horrible.
Yeah, there's more to life than spirit week and
cheerleading.
Cheerleading.
Yeah. I also have here horrible wardrobe, like horrible.
Yeah, my glasses were an atrocity.
No, I mean Clark with khakis. It's just like yeah, no. Horrible out scene. Swim shorts almost fall off. I found myself wanting more of Pete because I thought Pete was fun when he was in it.
Yeah.
The Lex, the principal Lex crossover storyline. I got my attention pretty well. I think we should get Kelly and Brian as guests.
Yes.
The writers and sure. Future. And I also saw that Clark was emotionally isolated the entire episode. He was like a man adrift with no one to talk to.
Well, he talked to Lana.
And a little bit of Lex.
Yeah.
But he couldn't even really talk to his dad because of what his dad was doing. It would have been a difficult week.
All right. Now it's time. Here it is. Maggie Lawson.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Mags,
what's
up?
Hi, team. Hi. Rosie, it's so good to see you.
Good to see you.
So good to see you. Tom, well, you as well. I haven't seen you since the episode.
It's only been 20-something years, but you look amazing. And I was joking earlier, we had a couple false starts, but I was joking earlier that I said to Rosie, I expect you to show up as like an 87-year-old woman from the show because we just watched it last night. But yeah.
You know what? I thought about it too, but just the makeup, it takes way too long. And the mask is really gross now, even though I still have it. The prosthetic. You guys, that was one of the scariest experiences of my life. I'm claustrophobic. So getting fitted for that prosthetic was wild.
Was that worse than seeing the image like in the mirror?
Oh, no.
Oh.
No, it wasn't worse. Nothing was worse than that. Anyway,
well, Michael made a funny comment because in watching the episode, he was able to see that a good majority of your scenes with the principal were like oners. And here you are coming in playing a really great character. And they're like, cool. Every shot you have is a oner. And that's not fun.
It's not. But I don't know. The show, I feel like, I mean, that's funny you said that because I did rewatch some of it and I noticed that. And I remember shooting that. But like, you know how it is. You got to go so fast. You got to make stuff. And look, I'm the guest star. Like, you don't spend time on me. You get my scenes done. You get them out of the way so you can focus on the ones that like, not that guest star scenes don't matter, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. It's just were you nervous?
I was moving this. For this one? Yeah.
You didn't.
It's always nerve-wracking.
It didn't seem that way.
No, you seem very
so
confident.
Cool and casual. Yeah.
Yeah, you were
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about me seeming so confident and casual playing a psychotic person who sucks the youth out of people. I don't know about this, guys.
Good point.
No, I was very, I remember at the time some friends had come up to do episodes and they talked about how fun it was, like, because all of the guests, most guest stars had like this, you know, we were taking on a pretty wild character, usually a villain or like
freak of the week kind of thing. Yeah.
Freak of the week. Yeah. So you get to come up and do something fun, but it's always nerve-wracking, you know, walking into a family, basically. I mean, these people have been working together for so long. You're the new person. It's the first day of school. It's always like nervous, but everyone was so nice. I do remember that. It was it was wild. It was so weird watching that. Like it's 2002.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's 20. It was crazy. 21 years ago. Was honestly the makeup.
You all are so good.
We also should tell Maggie that it was shot out of order.
Yeah.
And it was aired out of order, at least.
Yeah.
Which you may not
know.
So
we're very honest about episodes when we watch them. And when we don't like feel like, so this is an episode where we didn't really love and we're like, why didn't we? And then we got news from the creator, like, because you were great and the principal's great, the acting's great, but the story was just kind of like, And it was because they shot it in season one. They didn't have much money. They ended up airing it sometime as episode six of season two. And all these other things have kind of transpired. And it was like, what is this? It came out of nowhere.
Yeah. I didn't even know that.
You didn't? Yeah, exactly. And it's like, I think that's why when I watched it, I was like, what the fuck is going on here? What, now, when you do your podcast, because you have a rewatch podcast, Psych, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And can we be guests on it?
Do you have guests? And also,
oh my God, I would love that. Would you guys come chat about Psych with us?
Yeah.
I mean, don't you have to watch every episode though?
Every episode.
No.
Every episode.
No, but I'm saying, do we have to have watched every episode?
Oh, no. I thought, do you mean as we host? Of course we watch every episode. No. You know, you can know a little bit of, we could talk shop. We could talk about the business. We could talk about being on Culty. You know, I mean, Smallville was huge. Like, it was such a big thing at the time. It still is. I see you guys are doing like all the conventions and everything too, which is very fun. Doesn't Chrissy need to scare some people at a Smallville?
You know, that would be kind of fun. You have to wear.
I'm
key, you guys.
You have to bring your makeup.
Wear the prosthetic.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? You know what? We do. So we go to cons, and I'm sure you've gone to cons, and Psych is one of the biggest shows. People loved it. Talk about a show that became sort of cult. You've done movies. You have an endless amount of followers. It's a great show. People loved working with the cast and all that. But like, you know, we talk about, you know, well, what if we had a Smallville convention where it was all the guest stars from every episode or any episode we can get them. They come in, they sign, we take group pictures, giant group pictures of all, like, maybe there's 30 people in a picture of all the, it could be really fun. We should think about doing something like that. I think it'd be a blast. Get Maggie to come.
Do you not have one?
We've never done a Smallville convention.
No, Supernatural has one, which is a big deal. And like, I know there's a show that I was on, Lucifer, they kind of have a couple, but somehow the Smallville thing hasn't really, maybe we need you. Maybe that's what we need.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys, I'll jump in and I'll make it happen.
Hey,
for everyone.
Do you remember, like you were talking about the makeup, was it, how long did it take to put that makeup on at the very end for the old lady?
I was thinking about it and I think it was about, I want to say 3 to 4 hours. Maybe. And the prosthetic, the day where they get that, they make the cast, you know, I was more scared about that. I had my own anxiety about coming onto a, you know, a set and you're the new person and yada, yada. But like, I knew once I got through that part of the process, the pre-process, I would be better. The guys, by the way, who I don't remember their names, but the guys who would do those, the makeup and the prosthetics, they were so kind and so patient. I remember that because I was like totally shaking, freaking out. And they just make, you know, they just cut out little eyes and like a little nose and whatever for you to breathe.
Well,
and actually, I don't even think they cut out the eyes. Yeah.
No, I agree. I think it's sometimes like sound, the people who are in sound, people who are in wardrobe, people who are the editors and the producers you talk to when you loop, they need to have a patience because that's what it needs in that job. And I remember only a few times that I go in and those same guys, I did like a body cast once. I did like a 3/4 cast. And it's like really odd because we don't do it all the time, but they do. And they do a really good job of calming you down, make you feel comfortable. And without that, it's scary as hell. Yeah.
I remember when I did it, Maggie, because then they put all the blue stuff all over you and they mold it and it gets really tight and it feels like it's just sucking the life out of you.
She's anxious right now.
Dude, I hate it. I was like, you gotta hurry. I can't do this. Oh shit. You know, it's just really, and you know, that's, I think, one of the reasons, like, when I think about like going back on to do enough, if I want to ever do a 1 hour or stuff, if they're like, makeup. And I told you, Tom, I won't say the role, but I turned something down. And then I hear from the actor that did it. And I didn't tell him anything. I just said, oh, cool. It's 3 or 4 hours a day in makeup to get shit on.
And here's the other thing. When you do it, you don't know how long the process is. They do a good job of calming you down. Don't worry. It won't take that long. And then they say, okay, you're done. But then they have to take it off slowly. And that's even more anxious because you're like, just take it off. But you can't. Yeah, it's.
I remember. Yeah. I remember sitting because the second they say like don't do something, I think it was like don't open your eyes. There were a lot of like don'ts. You know, it's like all you want to do.
Yeah,
it's our brains are just like wired that way to be like oh, I just need to open my eyes. I remember shaking. I remember they put on some like really nice soothing music for me. They were really good. I kind of liked that. I love creating that. Yeah, on a daily basis, Michael, I could see where that's like a lot to incorporate into the work. But at the same time, I like turning into something else. I thought it was really, yeah. I thought it was kind of fun.
That's cool.
Do you want to hear a fun fact?
Yes. Oh. Yes. Fun fact, please.
That's not my voice, as you know, at the end.
Oh, it wasn't?
It's not my voice. No. And I didn't know it until the episode came out. You guys. So I know these memories are kind of coming back to me a little bit where I was like, did they, was there something wrong with this episode? And now you're saying they pushed it into season two. And so maybe that's all part of it. But I remember there was, when we were doing the scene, I think he was like, somebody said like, lower your voice, like just to give her some age because she's now older. And I hadn't like worked on that or probably like it wasn't sort of discuss. So I'm whatever I did was horrific, I'm guessing, on the day because the episode came out and I'm like, that's not my voice. That's
you
not
know
my
what,
voice.
Though?
It's my performance.
It worked. Yeah. And I thought it was yours. It just felt like,
yeah.
Don't you know, Clark, creepy that this is whatever it is. It just worked. I didn't think it wasn't you. I thought you were putting on some, or maybe they, you know, lowered the tone of your voice or something like that. But it didn't, that didn't
distract
me. Oh, you
know what? It could
me.
Be that.
Yeah.
No, it didn't. Honestly, it doesn't bother me at all. I think it adds a cool element to like this. She's a whole different thing. It was just more that like, oh God, what did I do?
Right.
Do you still get residuals? So do you still get residuals from that episode?
Occasionally I do.
Really?
It makes me smile. Yeah. I still see an occasional Smallville. I mean, I'm sure it's like 45 cents, but you know, at this point, but
it's parking meter. It's parking meter funds. Yeah.
It's parking meter funds. Where is a Smallville reunion, by the way? Is that happening? Can you all
no,
discuss?
We're like
you
one of the only shows that they didn't want to, they haven't asked us to do a, hey, let's do an Entertainment Weekly or let's do a Smallville reunion. We've never been asked. And I'm like, I'm kind of offended. I'm like, dude,
I think even Dawson's Creek has one.
Yeah. It's like, come on.
Yeah. You guys were huge. Like huge. Oh, yeah.
You know, I guess we didn't impress everybody.
I remember.
What are you going to do? You know?
Yeah.
Hey, did you remember?
I think we can make it happen, though.
Hey, did you remember your agents going, this is a big deal. You're going to be doing Smallville. Or were they kind of like, eh? Or were they excited about it?
They're like, you got some downtime, Maggie. We found this gig. Don't worry.
Can I tell you something crazy? If I'm remembering this correctly, I didn't read for this. I don't know how it came to me. Yeah. But I remember being like, I think I knew some of the producers or writers involved. I mean, it's so long ago. I'm just putting it all together now. But that was like, I remember, like when I say I they asked me to come. I remember at the time there was some weird connection I had to the show that like someone just asked me to come do it. So there was that, was like the coolest thing and the weirdest thing at the time for me because I hadn't done much work. Like, I don't know where that came from. But I don't think I read for it. And I don't know why. And then I remember thinking it was a huge deal because I knew the show and it was already so popular and, you know, this was a really nice guest starring role. And what's funny is I had hung out with very randomly, like we don't even know each other that well anymore, but we had some friends in common and Amy Adams had done an episode. Yeah.
She liked to suck the life out of people too, her character.
Similar
animals. Somebody said that. Yeah. And, you know, we went up for stuff a lot together, especially, I mean, at the time. And, you know, she was, we had hung out like right before she went and did her episode. Oh, and cool. I remember thinking like, oh, that's so cool. She's going to play in this like fun villain, whatever. And then I was shortly, I think right after, somewhere, I don't know. But I remember hanging out with her right before she did it. It's cool.
I love it. Look, well, we love having you on here to come on and just like, what, by the way, what's going on? You and Timothy still doing the podcast?
Yeah, it's so new for us. So like, I mean, as you know, Rosie, when I did your other pod. It was very, I was like, I don't do these. And then lo and behold, I'm like doing one.
Yeah.
I was really nervous. Do you remember that?
Not really. I remember it being great. I don't remember you being nervous. Maybe a little, but not, yeah.
Oh, I had a lot of anxiety about being open and kind of in a public, it was whatever, but it was wonderful. I absolutely loved it. I loved talking to you. It was wonderful. It was safe. It was great. And then like not long after that, a friend of mine had asked me if there was like a Psych Rewatch podcast, and I talked to everybody and they loved the idea, and Tim wanted to come on. And so, we've been doing that, and we're in season 4 now, and we just did a live show. Have you guys done that?
No. Is that worth doing?
We talked about it. Is it fun?
It was magical. It was because it's fans of your show, obviously, you know, who are going to come see it. They know there were just a lot of reactions, and sharing in that, I felt like live was really cool. It was at Sketchfest, San Francisco Sketchfest. And so that's like our big news of the last couple of weeks.
That's great.
Because we had our first live watch. It was very cool.
Were you worried that maybe no one's going to show up and it was just bigger than you thought?
I mean, yeah, I think it was taking something like that into like a live setting in a theater is, it could have been really embarrassing. And then we found out like about a week before, maybe like 5 days to a week before, that they had sold out.
Oh, wow.
So
that's
we
cool.
Were, wait, 400.
What? 400?
Yeah.
Tom, we're doing one. We're going to do the podcast for an hour, and then we'll have a guest that's from Small. And then we're going to do the Smallville Nights afterwards. We'll have an event. And then a VIP afterwards with some cocktails.
Thank you, Maggie. Finally. Thank you, Maggie. Thank you for motivating Rosenbaum to do this.
Yeah, right. I've been talking about it.
It's great. It's very fun. It's very fun, you guys. I highly recommend it. And you all are so great. And you have such a huge, huge following. Like, it would be a love fest. It would be so fun, I think.
I hope so. I think it'd be great. Well, look, you're an absolute joy. I love you coming on here for like 20 minutes and just kind of saying
whatever.
What you remember.
You have any other questions?
No, this is just that we just wanted to hang with you a little bit and say, hey, you know, and you talked about the makeup and you talked about being a guest star and how, you know, you come in and you got to know.
I remember everyone being so nice. All of
Did
you being
so nice. Did the principal die?
Yeah, he dies. We assume that, right?
No.
I clock him.
But if you clocked him, I thought it would knock him out, but you didn't suck the life out of him because Clark did that. So apparently he saved. What? Go ahead.
No, if you're making I'm just saying, like, yes, you're making a point. He's not dead.
I don't know if he's in the next episode. I haven't seen it.
What happened to the principal? That should have been the name of this episode. He's so great. Okay,
what I love about these podcasts, and I don't know if you find this on yours, I just think it's so funny how the actors who are in these episodes literally don't remember 90% of anything they did, me included. Like, I don't remember filming this episode. As I watch it, things come back. And I don't know if you get that with Psych, where you're like, I don't really recall being there that day. Where the fans
Isn't
are like,
spooky?
How do you not know everything? And it's like, well, you know.
Yeah. No, we have that all the time. Although we were a little later. So we were 06 when we started. But I can tell you, the first three seasons, it's very spotty. Going back and rewatching stuff, nothing. It might be... Like, I might get prompted by, you know, a guest, like a night out, more like the stuff that happened off the set.
Oh.
Memory wise. Yeah. That like triggers other memories. But it's really weird. It's fun to go back and rewatch. I don't even know that I watched all the episodes of Psych when they aired.
Okay, that was a wrap on Terrence Reynolds, principal of Smallville High.
That was it. That was the one episode. So I guess he died.
They gave him a whole backstory.
Take him out to the club and bury him in the shit factory.
How did they get rid of him? Jeez Louise. Maggie, I love you. Thank you for doing this.
Yeah, thank you.
Love you too. Michael, love you. Tom, so good to see you.
Good to see you too.
Come chat anytime you want on ours. I'm happy to come shoot the shit if you ever want on whatever. So
thank
I
you.
Just love you guys. Okay.
You're the best. Thanks for coming on.
Bye.
I'll talk to you soon.
See you soon.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
You know, one of the quick things I was going to say to her, but I know that the time is kind of running up and we didn't want to keep her too long so she didn't hate us. But I wonder if there's something about when an actor goes and acts and they go into a character, that the way the brain is configured, that, you know what, maybe you don't remember all of it because you're not you. You're into this zone.
Yep.
You know, and there's nothing to reinforce those moments. You go home, there's nothing to reinforce throughout the day what you do in a scene. Mm-hmm. Whereas in your life, there's reinforcements. You get an argument with somebody, it comes up again. You know, you see people often. I wonder if that's like a thing. I don't know.
Here's the hotline. Questions. Here we go. And these are top tier patrons, I believe. If you have any questions, that's the hotline. I don't even know if they're top tier patrons. Is this one a top tier patron? It is. Yes, this one is a top tier patron. This one's a patron privilege. Go to patreon.com/talkville. Here we go.
Hey, all. It's Michael Piccioni from Texas. In the episode Redux and in a few other episodes in the show, there's an end scene with Clark and his loft. And then the camera pans up to the stars. The end credits roll, beautifully shot scenes. I love to hear what goes on behind the camera. How are those scenes pulled off?
How are the scenes pulled off, Tom? I guess like when they're going up from the loft, right? At the end where they go up from you and Lon. I mean, it feels like you're uncomfortably standing there for a long time. And at the very end when it starts going up, I know you're getting probably frustrated, but then I see your arm kind of go out like I would
do
this.
No, I mean, I think Glenn Winter was even the DP here, which we all know he's a genius, but there was something about this episode where all the outs from the scene were not great. And it could be that somebody missed their cue. I'm sure as actors were just standing there waiting for the camera to do their thing, which is why it looks so stagnant.
It stayed there too long. I think they should have sped it up or something.
It just, there's no movement. You know, it wouldn't happen if Beeman was there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we all know we love Glenn and he's gone on to be one of the best that's ever been. But this could have been early on for him.
Yeah.
Or the dolly guy fell asleep, missed his cue, and that's the best take they got.
Probably.
That happens too.
And Michael, I remember you. Thanks for the question. I remember you from this weekend. I've met you before, and it's always good seeing you. Thanks for supporting Tom and myself and going to Smallville Nights. It was a joy. Here we go. Voicemails. This is Melody. Melody, what you got for us? Let's see what Melody's going to say.
Hi, it's Melody calling from Long Island. Quick question for season 2, episode 6, Redux. Why was it never addressed that this is not a meteor freak of the week? This is just a freak. If this went back to 1921, what happened? What's going on?
Good,
I don't understand.
Good point, and I have no idea.
You know, Melody, all I'll say is, yeah. So thank you. We have no answers for that. We agree with you. What is going on? Here's Jason. Let's see what Jason has to say. Melody, thanks for calling in. We love you.
Hey, it's Jason from Pittsburgh. This question is for season 2, episode 6, Redux. My question is for both Michael and Tom. Every time Jonathan is speaking to Clark, 9 times out of 10, he is using his name, Clark. Clark this, Clark that, Clark, Clark, Clark. I just find that very unique and wondered if you guys had any idea why that was performed that way or why Clark's name was always mentioned when Jonathan was speaking to Clark. I just think that was a really great choice that the show made. Thanks a lot, guys. Love you both. Bye.
Thanks, Jason.
I don't recall if it was written that way or not, but I knew that it was Jonathan's way of, or John Schneider's way of the father-son relationship. Listen, Clark. Listen, Clark. Listen, in the show of Smallville, we say everybody's names more than anybody ever says anybody else's names.
You never
forever.
Should do is tell the character. People know. We don't have to say the character's name over and over. That gets annoying.
Somebody said there was a drinking game where if any character says any other character's name, you have to take a shot. I don't think you can get through the episode.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just too many names.
Yeah, it's, you know, it is what it is. Here's Sarah. Let's see if Sarah has a question. Apparently she does if she called the hotline. Make sure you call.
Hi, I'm Sarah, and I'm in Arkansas. I'm calling about season 2, episode 6, Redux, in which Jonathan Kent turns into a big red flag. Martha and Jonathan's engagement story sounds more like the start of an abusive relationship than true love, and genuinely makes me wonder why Martha was willing to move to the middle of nowhere with a man with a violent temper. It reads like a horror story and takes away from any and all respect for Jonathan, who can't even put his pride aside so Clark can have a relationship with his only grandparent. What are y'all's thoughts?
I appreciate your candor. I appreciate that you were angry. Because, you know, I could see your point. I think that they were truly... I think Jonathan and Martha were really protecting Clark from this man who was actually mentally abusive, maybe not physically, but this man, you know, imagine somebody belittling you and calling you a loser farmer and you can't take care of my daughter. And then he kind of pushes you and then you punch him It's like, you know, who knows what happened in that moment? I don't think he's an abusive guy. I think he defends his family. He's not some guy who will go out and fight somebody randomly. I think he has got a big heart, but I also think that he's, you know, he's a country boy.
You know? I will agree that there's not a moment in the episode that speaks to Jonathan and Martha's reason of being together there. There's no time. There's too many stories in this episode, like I said. It's really about the dad issue, the Clark issue, the Lex issue, the principal issue, you know, the girl issue. Like, there's so many other issues, but I agree. It just, without them talking about it, all you get is the actors and the characters sort of sharing each other. But yeah, it's not discussed as to why Martha's there with what could seem to be an abusive relationship. Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Rosenbaum rating on this one, guys. Three roses are the best, and two roses you can give halves. There's a heater right down the middle, and then there's one, two, or three bombs. I'm going to start with this one. Because of the good performances by the guest stars, Maggie, and, you know,
the principal.
The principal, and George Coe, Richard Gant, Sarah Jane Redmond, Maggie Lawson. If it wasn't for that, I think this is a complete throwaway. To me, I just didn't. And the relationship with Lex and Big Brother to Clark, I like some of that stuff. And, you know, Lana's storyline. So, but it's definitely going to be, I'm going to give this a bomb and a half.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a bomb and a half. I think this is probably the lowest one for me. Have I given two bombs?
Yeah.
No. But I think this is a 1.5 bomb. I think this is, and the studio kind of threw this away, and this ended up in episode. It just makes sense. I can't give this more than a bomb and a half. I mean, it would have been completely bombed if it wasn't for Maggie and for, you know, and they didn't have any choice. It just wasn't great TV. It wasn't a great program to me. Yeah, it wasn't a great program. Don't base it on mine. If you want to give it high praise, go ahead.
I already have mine written down.
Go ahead, Tom. Yeah.
Ryan, go ahead. Oh, me?
Yeah.
I was going to go just a heater. I don't think this is a show that I would show somebody if they'd never seen it. I think it's a little confusing. I think it was a little sort of trying to piece things together. There were some great moments, great performances. But, you know, sometimes you get great performances in horrible movies. You know, it's, I think it's just, it's neither here nor there for me. But I think everybody did a great job. It not all the elements came together for this one. That's why.
Yeah, I think this episode should have aired in 1983 after like Dynasty. Then it would have done better. It would have been more appropriate. Ryan?
No, I was going to say heater as well. I agree with
Jesus.
Tom. Yeah, just look, because the guest stars are doing what they can with the material. They're there. They're doing these oneers. They're in the prosthetics. Yeah. I mean, and now having learned that they shot it in season one, it sort of makes sense. Also, I was just thinking now, it's kind of a bummer that Lana keeps having these female friends her age that keep getting killed off or like shoved out of town.
As soon as she makes a friend.
As soon as she makes like a girlfriend for life, they get run out of town or killed.
I agree.
And then she's stuck like managing the coffee shop and then like pining over Clark, but not really.
I mean, just think.
Maggie, you should come work at the coffee shop with me. Yeah, great. Ah, she's dead.
Think of this, though.
She needs a pal.
Think of this, guys. I'm just thinking of the writing room. And they're like, okay, so there's this girl and she sucks the life out of people and they die of old, you know, they're old and she gets younger. Didn't we kind of do that? No, hear me out. And and then Lana finds these pictures of a guy with her mom who passed away and it might be her real dad. Okay, random, but okay, all right, okay. Why don't we continue the story, though, of what was going on in the first episodes of this year? All right, and then, obviously, I know it was shot out of order, and
the other writers are so tired working on their stuff, they're like, yeah, sounds great, yeah.
And then Clark's got this grandfather that he's never seen since he was born because Jonathan punched him in the face, and they haven't talked in 30 years. It just was like...
And don't worry, we don't ever have to see him again, either.
And then the principal, we see him once, and he dies.
Maybe the whole like getting life sucked out is just how the writers were feeling at the time about their own lives. And like the show was just getting sucking the life out of them and they're just aging at a rapid pace.
Not cost effective to have five guest stars in one episode.
Just not great. Death count, save count. How many people got saved? How many died? Troy Turner, Russell Burton, and Chrissy were all dead. Hey,
and
Principal Reynolds, it says saved, but he wasn't saved, was he?
He was KO'd. But that, I don't think he was killed. Maybe he was just released.
Maybe he's in a coma, Smallville General.
Yeah.
Through six episodes in season two, 8 dead, 12 saved. Corrected series count, 38 dead, 47 saved. Ryan's favorite scene.
My favorite
that
scene.
That is not Hall of Fame batting average, by the way, for saving dead.
I've written three scenes down. To me, like the only three like notable scenes.
All right, read them out.
But I have a favorite, yes, in mind.
Tom takes you seriously.
All right, so three scenes that drew me in this episode. the cold open in the pool. Clark's showdown with Chrissy. Scene two, and then Clark and Lana in the loft at the end where we find out that she might have a dad. So scene one, cold open. Scene two, the showdown with the bad guy. And scene three, the ending.
Okay, here's the problem with the third scene.
Yeah.
It's Clark and Lana together. It's great to, but no information that the audience doesn't already know yet. The pool scene is fine, but you already said you missed the Speedos.
Don't.
So it has to be number two.
Okay, you say number two. I'm going to disagree with Tom. I think you're going to go with the loft scene because that was the most interesting storyline and we're waiting to see what happened with her father. I'm going to go three. Ryan?
Two.
Fuck yourself hard.
No, that's the one I... Right.
All right. I don't just... I believe you.
I got it.
All right. So Tom won that one. There you go.
See, I did think about
it.
Yes.
You know what?
I'm like one for 23.
All right. Guys, it happens. Don't think I'm shitting on the show. I'm just honest. I think it's fun that I give my opinion and I'm always the hard one. And then Tom's sort of optimistic and Ryan's sort of in the middle to optimistic. You want that. It makes it more dynamic. If you don't, I don't know what to tell you because I'm going to keep it real. That's it for this episode. Stick around next week, please, as we trace things back in episode 28, Lineage. Let's take the discussion.
That's a fun one.
Huh? Yeah. Don't say anything, but I'm excited about this one. Let's take the discussion online. Let us know your thoughts on the episode over on our socials at Talkville Podcast or at Talkville Pod. Write a review. It helps. Show your support for the podcast by joining Patreon at patreon.com/Talkville. Also, the website. There's going to be some really cool stuff on the Talkville website. I think it's talkvillepodcast.com. We've got some really interesting artwork. I hired this cool artist who I loved her work, May Charters. She made us an original portrait, a drawing, and she made really amazing quality prints, and they're going to be signed, autographed by me and Tom. We've already signed them. There's only 55 made, and they'll be on the website, so you might want to check that out. We're really excited about them. I think they're really cool pieces. And once there's 55 sold, it's done. There's no more prints. We'll find another print to do something. We'll have another original piece of art. But so maybe you think that was cool. And I've got some other stuff. I think some headshots we signed as well of Clark and Lex. Again, if you want more info like merch from the show or a hotline number, you can find all that in the description. Tom, it's always a pleasure, dude.
Oh, this is great. This is fun. Ryan, thanks for finally waking up and joining us. Ryan, I appreciate it.
Pleasure. And Ryan, why don't you say, remember, folks.
Remember, folks, always hold on to Smallville.
We'll see you later. Don't think we forgot about you. Top tier patrons. We got to read there. We got to give shout outs. I love shouting out your name. You guys are important to us. Patreon.com/Talkville. Thanks for giving to the show and keeping it going. And hopefully we'll do every season if you're here for us. Let's do the shout outs, Tom. Good to see you. Let's rock and roll, baby. And I will be in Atlanta. Don't forget March 4th. And here we go. Why don't you take it, Tom?
All right. Nikki G, Leanne P, Raj C, Janine R, Santiago M, Leah S, Little Lisa, Tom T, Sophie M, Betsy D, Liliana A, did all I do right. It right, finally?
Yes.
In our season two. Abhi P, Kimberly E, Michael H, Raj H.
Ray.
Fatima.
Ray H. Ray. Ray Harada.
Oh, Ray Harada. Fatima T, Karen, Apple M, Danielle B, 99 more.
I think it's actually Fatima T, but. Leilani N. Catherine P. Brett G. Always hold on to Smallville. Estevan G. DJ Kento. Garrett W. Kimberly L. Justin S. Tom N. Tony V. Rodolfo V. Jason W. Osama A. Lana rhymes with banana. Lana. It's Lana rhymes with banana. W. Nancy D. Brian G. Sarah W. Artune K. Justin T. And Lucy and Jeremy G.
I think DJ Kento added a T. I don't remember that T being there. But
Kento, is that true?
Anyway, There's Artoon K, Justin and Lucio, Jeremy G, Amanda R,
yeah,
Teddy 127, Michael P, Theo M. We just saw Michael P in Dallas.
We did.
By the way, I remember. Theo M, Ryan R, Grumpy Itis, not what Michael thinks. Jordan M, Hillary B, Craig G, Christy R, Pollyanna, Karen P, Derek G, Jorel, my dad, Richard S, not Richard Donner, Heather and G, Heather and Greg's, all right, Nico P, I made Talkville say
butts.
Butts.
Brian H, Georgina B, Eric K, Clark M, Clark's M. What if I did it like a, I was like in a news announcer, but every word is like I'm telling a sentence, like Clark's M, Kristen B, Takashi M, Kevin E, Nanine W, Stephanie K, Darth Achilles, Finky, Tito G, Mixter, Stephen F. Damn, who's that? Jeanette E, Deadvid, Allison H, General Zod, Krauk, Clark backwards, Drew M, Aracelis R, Aracelis? Aracelis R, Big D, John Glover's Luscious Mane, Doug R, Tommy Z, Boston 68, Isabel, Cigar or Sager S, Corey L, Ivy Sam, Ivy and Sam, Mr. Home Arcade.
Cal T, Amanda K, Jesse C, Lumberjack, Claire M, fourth favorite character, underscore Zoe, Scott and Dylan D, Brown, Joshua W, Green Alice, what does it say?
Karenera?
That's a new one.
Karenera.
It's another one from M. Mess Up. Karenera M. Eldon Supremo.
Eldon Supremo.
Eldon Supremo. Sarah Q2, Leslie V, Gary H, Tatiana S, Robert G, Natalia, man, why did I take all these? Natalia G, Jewel Jules, McBurts, Ginger M. You got the last one there. I'm not going to mess
Yerevan Plaza underscore XC. So,
wow, way Julie to keep it simple.
Eye. Julie was there. She was in Dallas. Hi, Julie with one eye.
Oh, nice.
McBurts, Ginger M, Yerevan Plaza underscore XC. I love it. We got, can't do it without you. You know that. We really appreciate you. Thanks for supporting us. Keep supporting us. If you're enjoying this, so are we. We love it. All right, Tommy. I'll see you later, buddy.
Later, bud.